We begin our seminar with a way into the present. With a 3-hour meditation. In the first hour we will say, I am God, God I am. During the second hour, we'll say why we can say we're God. And during the third hour, when we normally sit quietly, listening within, then we will have the realization that our oneness with the divine within as we listen to that inner self. Let's sit quietly now, and together let's chant the idea, I am God, God I am. Together. I am God, God I am. 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 God, God I am. I am 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 God, God I am.
I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am.
I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am. I am God, God I am.
I recommend always when we do our three-hour meditation, we take our goldfish and put them away. We put away our children. We put away our dogs and cats. We put away our mice because they can be very distracting. And you're right in the middle of this very lovely feeling of moving yourself into this new state of consciousness, and then all of a sudden you have this warf-warf to distract your attention. So, you may think, well now, why did you let this happen? Because this is part of the training that we're doing here. So, it's very important that we take our children and put them away, and our goldfish and put them away, and our cats and dogs and put them away. And Ellen, did you make sure everybody had a little bottle of water or something in case they wanted it? Now, if you haven't done it, this is not the moment to do it, but it's a good idea to do that. And did you make sure everybody had a paper and pencil for the programs? So we're going to do that. Okay. So, we'll take a moment to describe what we're doing here. We're doing the three-hour meditation. And the three-hour meditation is a program that has been designed psychologically and spiritually to move us into our higher level of consciousness. We have the tendency to be very, think it's unimportant that we say I'm God and why we can say I'm God and to listen to the divine within. We think that's not very important because we think it's more important to turn on the television and to listen to music and to have background and to go to the bathroom. Now, I guarantee you, each one of you could have stayed in bed this morning and slept until 6 very comfortably without having to get up and go to the bathroom or anything like that. So, this is something mentally we do. You know, you prepared yourself before you came here to take care of your duty, and that was good. But I realize that sometimes that's something that we haven't mastered once we're awake. When we're awake, time to do our duty, you know, time to do all the things that are important to do. But here we're entering into this 3-hour meditation. And the 3-hour meditation does not own us. That's we must be very clear about. It doesn't own us. It is a program of discipline to train us in reaching into our inner awareness. And if you're going to sometimes say 2 times 2 is 4, and sometimes say 2 times 2 is 8, you're never going to learn the mathematics tables. You have to be consistent. Always consistent in saying what it is that you're wanting to believe and wanting to learn. So, we saw in the movie last night how those little tubes were connecting to other tubes on the brain. That was all the dendrons in the brain there, and how these little tubes were connecting. And when the tube did not have continuous connection, then no connection was made. So when we are not continuously saying every moment of our life that we're God, we're the creator of our world, we are the totality of it, then those connections are made and unmade and made and unmade. And when they're unmade, nothing happens to our benefit. When they're made and they're permanent and they're solid and they're wonderful, then we are always in the awareness that we are our divinity. We are divine. We are God. And that's what we want to do. And that's what the 3-hour meditation is for. The first hour is just to affirm the truth about ourselves. No extra dressings, just the simple, I am God. The second hour, why you can say you're God. And I will say it to us during our program, because this is a training program. Normally you do it to yourself and alone. And the third hour, I'm going to take you on a journey in my mind of the things I experience in my living awareness of my own inner divinity. Now, yours may be far more wonderful than anything I'm going to come up with, but it's to be simple, it's to be one, and it's to be a realization that you are divine. So now, let's prepare for our second hour, which this morning is not necessarily going to be a full hour, but it's going to be our second hour, and it's going to say why I can say I am God. You see, I have a lot of fun doing this, and I like to share it. And so one of these seminars, I'm going to start saying, all right, Ellen, you take the second hour. Sylvia, you take the third hour. And Ingeborg, you take the first hour. So what's going to happen? What's going to happen? You're going to make yourself listen within and hear all the exciting things that are going on in you. But you won't make yourself hear it unless you have disciplined yourself to keep those connections made in your brain, tuning in to your divine oneness. All right, let's close your eyes and relax. Be at peace. Why can I say I am God? Well, I tell myself this all the time. There's nothing else in this universe but God. Now, I don't need Jesus to tell me that everything is God. Because if I believe that Jesus is going to tell me everything is God, then I got to believe everything that Jesus says and I got to follow it, which is not a bad idea. But there is the Jesus or the Christ in me. And I listen to the divine in me tell me what to do. Because I'm not in the body that Jesus had. I'm not in the body that the Buddha had or all these other great, wonderful spiritual leaders of all time. I'm me. And why can I say I'm God? I can say I'm God because I have attuned in to my divine reality. I'm listening to it all the time. I can say I'm God because that's all that I think about. And it's not because. I just say I am God. I am love. That's a good point. Is God love? Yes, God is love. Am I love? Yes, I am love. Am I unconditional love? Yes, I am unconditional love. I look at everyone in my world and I love them. I surround them with my love. I enfold them with my love. I snuggle them with my love. I want nothing from them. I give them all that I am. And that's why I can say I'm God. Because that's my concept of God, giving all, giving all, giving, giving, giving. That's why I can say I'm God. I'm giving all. And I don't feel empty in giving. I feel filled up. I feel that the flow is going so beautifully. Like I'm an artesian well that just comes up out of the ground, a never-ending source of purest of water. And the pressure that keeps me coming, hard for me to describe, but I know it's my divinity. I know it's my divinity. You see, I sometimes say, how can I be nice all the time? How can I be loving all the time? How can I look at everything as beautiful all the time? Well, I'm God. I created everything. I created every person in my world, hence they are fantastic, because I am a good creator. I am a good God. I am a loving presence, a loving power, a loving source. I am God. And you know, as I talk to myself about being God, I also come to the realization that there is no other God on the face of the earth except me. And if I'm talking to others, If I'm talking to other people, they say, come on now, I'm God too, you know. What do you mean there's no other God on the face of the earth except you? Well, that's true. Because I am God, and I am the oneness, and I am the allness. And I have tuned into my allness. I am my allness. I live my allness. And I create all of my creation, living their allness and being able to tap into their divinity, should that please them. It's a wonderful, powerful experience which we can all know and we can all have in our life. Now, we have the dogs barking outside. Perhaps there's a group of passing coyotes saying, hi, you guys, can you come out and play? And the dogs are responding to them and saying, no, we're not allowed to go out and play. We're supposed to stay right here quietly in our own yard and behave. Because that way we live a long, healthy, harmonious life filled with goodness. And we'll have our master and mistress to take care of us and guide us and help us all the time. And that's right, guys. That's right. They are our creation, and we create them peaceful and quiet and relaxed. We create them as a loving center of joy and harmony. We create them always doing everything we choose to have them do, because we are the master. Now let's change that. I am the master. We cannot think in the we, because when we think in the we, then we're not thinking in the I. And if we're not thinking in the I, then we're not thinking that I am God. I say we are God, and that's not true. We are not God. It's only I who is God. And it's only when I say I am God that it makes any sense, it makes any difference. Because there's not a multiple of gods. There's not a billion zillion gods. There's only one. And that is who I am. I am the one. Now, as I teach myself to say this, I experience this. And I'm not in competition with any of my creation. I am the one. I am God. I am the power of the universe. What power? God has no power. Well, that's what I've been taught. God has power, but God has no power. God does not make anything happen. God does not create something brand new that never was. God is the allness. God is the isness. God is everything. And if God is everything, then what does God have to have power over? Does God speak its word and the power of the universe vibrate to manifest it? That's a good statement, but does God do that? No. You see, once I know, it's a tendency to say we know, but once I know I am God, I do not think in dualistic terms. I think in oneness. I think in purity. I think in my reality. I do not create things in my world, even though I play with that word. All things are. I have already, if I can say that, created everything. There's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing new to be created. It exists. And I, as God, reveal these things to myself and to my world as I choose, already fulfilled 100%, already existing 100%, already magnificent and outstanding. Wow. There's no work for me to do. There's only play. I just go out and enjoy my creation. I just go out. And the word creation, remember, gets us a little trouble because we think we're making it happen. But I could say I just go out and enjoy my existence, the existence of every thought that I have, every idea that goes through my consciousness. But you see, I as God do not have any thoughts. You say, that's kind of a boring life, not to have any thoughts. No, I as God do not have any thoughts. Because to have a thought, you must have a thinker. And that would mean then that either I am the thinker, or I am the thought, or I am both. And if I am the allness, I am that which was thought and always was. I'm not something new. I'm not something being revealed or being made known to myself or the world. It's already there. I'm like my body. My body has billions of cells in it, just billions and billions and zillions of cells in it. And sometimes I'm aware of a cell. I'm aware of the cell in my toe when I stub my toe or something. Otherwise, I'm not aware of that cell. And when I become aware of myself, I am limited in my experience to that cell. My attention goes right to that cell. I'm not living in my allness. I'm not living in my isness, in my fullness. But I am that isness. I am that fullness. I'm God. I am the all. But you might say I sort of drift away from my awareness of my allness. I don't drift away from the allness. I am always it. But I drift away from the awareness of that, and I think that I am my stubbed toe. I think that I am the cell of my body that is demanding attention. But you see, when I live in who and what I am, my divinity, I live in a state of bliss eternally. You see, that sounds kind of boring. Ha 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 ha. Not to me. I know what it is to live in bliss, and I do it a great deal of the time. But I like to play the game of being a sharer and being a teacher and being somebody as a way shower and so forth like that. And every time I do that, I appear to have forgotten my bliss, my oneness. And when I forget that, then I appear to be human and I appear to be limited. That doesn't make me human or make me limited. It's just that I appear that way. And when I appear that way, I appear like I'm not my God self. And that's sort of a silly thing to do, but that's exciting. Oh, it's exciting to stub my toe. It's exciting to have cancer. It's exciting to do all these interesting things that are a little less than divine in my body. That's exciting. It is. You see, every time I turn my attention to my reality, my bliss, I live in such peace, in such harmony, in such joy, in such fulfillment of every single thought in my mind, that there are no thoughts in my mind because I am the allness. There is no awareness of bliss, because when I am in my bliss, I have no outer feelings, no outer awareness. I'm totally my God self. And how wonderful that is. And each time I enter into this bliss, it is so exciting, because I'm still able to make a slight comparison to the bliss and non-bliss. But as I really enter into the bliss totally, then there is no non-bliss. There is no otherness. There is only oneness that I am. When I am in my bliss, when I am in my divine awareness of my awareness, that's the wrong word, when I'm God, I'm not aware of it, but when I'm God, I'm it. Well, then, as I exist in my universe, as I am in my everyday life, you might say, and I am the fullness of God, expressing this totality that I am, I look at my creation, and my creation, and you see there's that silly word creation again, my revelation, my revealing, that's just as bad really, my revealing is absolutely exactly like me, perfect. There's nothing in my expression, whatever I brought forth, however I want to say it, there's nothing that needs any changing, because I am God, and all that I know and all that I see is God. I am love, and all that I know and all that I see is love. This is why I can say I'm God. I see that. I experience that. I talk, walk, share with people from my God self, always living in this blissful attitude. And people say, hey, don't you care about me? Now, who would ever say that? Who would I ever create in my world to think that I didn't care about them because I brought them forth? Because in my world, they are a reflection of me. I must have some confusion in me if I think that they don't understand me. I must have some confusion in me if I think my world doesn't realize exactly who I am. They don't need to acknowledge it. They just act as though I am this wonderful divine bliss. And of course, since I am this wonderful divine bliss, I see all expressions in my world, the wonderful divine bliss. There's no one who needs my help, no one who needs my guidance, no one who needs my love or my money or anything else. No one needs any of it. We live in this blissful relationship of oneness. And in this blissful relationship of oneness, it would be like telling you what it is to be the water that's around the fish, you know. It's incomprehensible because you're the fish. But once you are merged as the fish, as the water, and the water no longer is separate from you, then you say, well, that's natural. But the movement from the awareness that you are a fish or you are the water or you are one is the most exciting adventure that we could ever contemplate as human beings. And the step that we take into the awareness that I am God, then that's even more exciting, except that we have no comparisons. And as a human, excitement takes place only as a comparison. Only as we compare the acts that we do, the thoughts that we think, the emotions that we have. But I, as God, no longer have any human emotions. Oh, I can appear to have human emotions, but I don't really. It's just a game I play. Because if I'm going to be on planet Earth or in a human environment, then I want to have the response of the environment to me. But because I know I am God, and because I live in this state of bliss all the time, then every person, place, and thing in the world that I have about me is a perfect reflection of me, is a perfect reflection of peace and love and joy, harmony, everything that's good. That's all that I, as God, know. Jesus tells us that God knows when a sparrow falls. Well, what was Jesus saying? Jesus said, I know when a sparrow falls because I am God. Now, Jesus didn't say that Ellen Jeremini in Switzerland knows that a sparrow falls in Campo when she's not there. And her Barley is in Campo and he sees the sparrow falling. But my goodness sakes. Why would her Byerly ever see a sparrow fall when her Byerly is love? Why would he ever see anything that was inharmonious with the purpose of his creation? There we go, that word again, with his creation, with his divinity. You see, I don't care whether a sparrow falls or not, because in my world, they don't fall. I don't care if it's a sparrow's nature to be kicked out of the nest and then fly. Because for me, for the divine me, the God me, when I see a sparrow, it is flying. When I see any person, they are doing their highest and best. When I have any experience in my life, it is an experience of peace and joy and magnificence and love and goodness to the highest and that anything could be. That's what I am as God. That's why I can say I am God. Playing the role of human and God brings a lot of confusion. Because I ask myself, what is real? Well, the word real goes along with saying that it might be not real. And so I change the word and I say, what is? Then I come to the realization that all is. All is, all was, always will be. There is no past, present, or future. There's only the now. And I live in the now. And the now has no comparison. The now has no way of looking at it to see whether it is something that is good or bad, right or wrong. It exists. You can think of it in this limited way. It's like a motion picture camera. It takes pictures. And then it shows the pictures quickly, making you think that the camera is giving you this movement. Whereas each separate little picture is complete in itself, full in itself. It is an is, and all these is's together make up for the movie. And I think the movie is my reality, because the movie is an experience of me. But the movie is a series of is's. Each individual picture is an is. And each little picture has in it the allness that I am, because it is only in living in the now, in the is, of each of the pictures that are taken by the camera. It is only in living in the now, in an is, that I am. And that is my humanity. That's your humanity? That's right. Because, you see, my divinity sees the whole picture and knows the whole picture and enjoys the whole picture. I don't see just one little scene, one little cell in my body. I see the whole body, complete and perfect. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. And as I entertain my God self and I say I am God, I have my entire self, is, whatever I'm calling it, and it exists right now, totally, perfectly, wonderfully. I am it, but I don't know it. When you're asleep at night, you're not aware of your body. And your body's doing all sorts of beautiful things, using the autonomic nervous system to guide it through its existence. And then you wake up and you put your bloated nothingness in the way of your divine circuits, and your body begins to say, oh, I'm tired. Oh, I'm stretchy. Oh, I'm hungry. Oh, I gotta go potty. Oh, I gotta do this. And your body begins to possess you. And when your body possesses you, you are no longer the allness. You are an is. You are an individualization of an idea. And when, I don't want to say you and we, But when I wake up in the morning and I feel just fantastic, if there's any little thing that needs loving attention, I say, I am whole and perfect, I'm fantastic, I'm glorious. I put the cause in motion because that's how I, as God, see this body that I have chosen to use on this planet Earth. And I, as God, look at this body and say, it is wonderful, it is good, it is fantastic. And I say it again and again and again. Not that I am telling me as God that my body is perfect, but I'm telling my body, which I created as a separate item, that it's whole and perfect. When I, as God, am one as my body, then I do not need to tell my body anything, because as one with my reality, my divinity, and my God self, then it's perfect. It's perfect. That's an adventure, isn't it? The adventure of getting my bloated nothingness out of the way of my divine circuits so that my body can express all that I am, all the divinity that I am, all the godliness that I am, the allness that I am. This is why I can say I am God. Because I have the privilege of pretending that I'm not, or being aware that I am. And so long as I pretend that I'm not God, I have all the human adventures. And the moment I am aware I am God, in the now, the human adventures cease to have any control over me. I'm untouched by any human adventure, because it's just not there for me. Even if other people are experiencing it, it's not there for me. Truly, when I know I am God, I can walk in the rain and not be wet. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, why didn't we do that yesterday, huh? Uh-huh. So, I am God, and whatever I want to experience, wouldn't that be kind of fun? Wouldn't that be fun to walk in the gentle, warm sunlight wherever I go? And maybe have the sprinkles going on around me, because it's kind of pretty to watch that too, but be untouched by it. And wouldn't it be wonderful to walk down the street and the cars are driving here and so, and you just walk there and for you, the cars don't exist, and for the cars, you don't exist. And so you just each do your own thing. And you walk across the street through the middle of traffic, roaring cars and buses and so forth, and you're untouched. Now you say, oh, come on now, that's kind of way out. It is nice, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But you see, God is not touched by anything. God either says yes or no to being touched, and that's the appearance. When the Sufi masters in the Himalayas were approached by the Russians, and they were told to shoot these people, and so they stood them up against the wall and shot them. And they just chopped them to pieces with their bullets. And then the soldiers went away after doing their duty. And when they came back later, the Sufi master's bodies were not there. There was no blood. There was no evidence that such a activity had ever taken place. Because the Sufi master said, yeah, if you want to play that game, go ahead. That's not our reality, but we'll let you play that game if that pleases you. Just like Donald Samoda in Illusions with Richard Bach. They shot him up and shot up his airplane, and a short time later, the airplane was just like it always was, and Donald was just like it always was, untouched. But you see, we don't have to go through those dramatic scenes of dualism. But we think we do. If you are a judge, and you're in court. You speak your word about every case that comes before you, and you say, all is in divine order, now go and sin no more. What did Jesus say to people? He said, I have nothing against you. Go and sin no more. Don't do those things that are going to get you in trouble, you know, unless you want to. And the blind man came to Jesus, and he said, hey, I see you seeing. Now that you didn't see yourself seeing for a while, because you looked at an illusion, and that made you happy. Now, can you, this instant, in the now, take the thought that you can see and always could see and always will see? Or are you going to go around pronouncing that you could not see and now you can see? If you do that, you will not be able to see. And so they went out and they stopped living in the now, knowing that they could see and that they always could see. And they say, hey, before I couldn't see and now I can see. And zip! Now they can't see. We play the game. We play the game. Jesus did not pronounce unto them they would not see. He just told them, if you stop living in the now, in the reality of your sight, then you will not have that sight. I'm God. I'm the creator of everything. I am everything. I am the allness. Now, as the allness, what do I do? Do I see everything harmonious and beautiful and good in the world of illusion that stands around me? Or do I see it with any kind of limitation? Any kind. And if I see it with any kind of limitation, then I give myself a hard time recognizing that I am God. I guess the reason I can say I am God is because I have a clear vision. I see each is as beautiful and fulfilled. I do not see those things that I would say are inharmonious, which I could never say because I'm God, but as a human. That is the term. When I know I am God, I cannot see as a human sees any longer. Whatsoever things are pure and of good report, think on these things. That's what I do as God. I think on these things that delight my soul, that sparkle my mind, that uplift my consciousness to the point where I'm fantastic. That's why I can say I am God. And I can say I am God morning, noon, and night. I can say I'm God under all circumstances. I can say I'm God as I walk in the rain or through the rain, or untouched by the rain, or touched by the rain, whatever is my delight for the moment. Whatever is my delight for the moment. I am the allness now. I always could see, I always will see, I see now. There's nothing more to say. I am God. I am that I am. And it's a wonderful feeling to be that way. Now for a few moments, let your mind tell you why you can say, I am God. And I don't mean that your mind tells you that Herb Byerly is God. That's easy. But let your mind tell you that you are God, and living that way right now. So Let your mind dwell on that now for a few moments. The art of listening within, the art of listening as the divine speaks to us, is something that we can do, we do, we experience quite often, but what we would like to do is to experience it all the time. To be living in the presence of the awareness of our divinity. This is one of the great desires that most of us have, and most of us think about quite often. Before I think and speak and say anything at all or do anything at all, I ask, how would I as God respond? How would I as God respond? How would I as my divine self respond? If I listen to God in me, if I consciously make a choice to listen to God in me, speaking to me, as me, through me, what sort of things is God saying? What sort of things does God have to say to me? How does God reveal itself, myself, to me in everyday experiences? How do I listen to God? As I practice listening to God, I will hear my human self, more often than not, saying all the things that it has to say. My human self will talk about my body. My human self will talk about my mind. My human self will talk about my environment. My human self will talk about my relationships, my abundance. My human self talks about all these things that are human. And they have nothing to do with the divine, except that as divine, they would always be ideal. And as human, they'd always be waiting to be fulfilled. Now, when my mind says, how is this going to come out? How is this activity that I'm engaged in going to come out? How am I going to handle it? What am I going to do? I have these people who are coming and they want to learn about the principles of truth. How am I going to explain it to them? How am I going to tell them the principles of truth and make it exciting so they want to hear it, make it so that they can understand it, make the principles of truth in such a way that they're exciting. Well, if this is my choice, I will never teach the principles of truth. I will never teach the principles of truth because I am doing it as a manipulative device. The divine in me stops giving me an answer when I say I want to make these things happen. The divine in me says, hey, What did I hear you say? Did you say, it is done, it is complete, it is fulfilled, it is revealed? I like that kind of talk. You see, the divine in us talks just like that, just like we would talk to ourselves. And the divine says, hey, what other wonderful dreams are you going to come up with that are outrageous and impossible? And let's do them. Let's do them. Because they're done. They're already done in my consciousness. Where do you think you got the idea from of doing these wonderful inventions and doing these wonderful creations? Why do you think so many people have the idea for the light bulb at the same time? Well, I just pour beautiful concepts into your mind and challenge your thinking to say yes or no. And when you say yes to the divine in your human, then everything works out. We've had people say, oh, that's a divine idea. And they didn't quite mean it to be a spiritual idea. They just meant it was a pretty nice idea. But in fact, every idea is a spiritual idea. The idea to cut your hand off with an axe, how terrible. That's a divine idea. Now, you don't have to do that. But the idea comes to you basically from your human qualities that say, I don't deserve this and I don't deserve that. So we cut ourselves off from those things that we say we don't deserve. Like cutting your hand off with an axe. Graphically, you see that axe cutting your hand off and think that's terrible. Well, why did you carry it beyond the thought that your hand is being cut? No. All is in divine order. My hand is in perfect order. God in us is always challenging us with beautiful ideas to see if we want to live in the now or the future or past. When the divine talks to me, it knows better than to say those things that limit me to the past, the future. Because it knows I've already given up on that. It knows that it makes no difference to me whatsoever. So the divine in me has to challenge me in other ways. God talks to me, in me, in ways that I can be challenged, or I can be tested, if you will. I can be fortified. And the divine talks to me and says, hey, let's dive into this cold water. And you shiver. I shiver as I think of the cold water. And then I say, hey, Herb. Hey, divine Herb. Hey, God Herb. Hey, come on, wake up. If you can say you can walk on cool, wet moss when you walk on red-hot fire, you can dive into this lake of ice-cold water and have it just be warm as toast. Although toast gets a little hot sometimes. But it can be warm and pleasant. But that's going against reality. And then I, as God, speak to myself and say, when have I ever not gone against reality? See, God in me talks to me in lots of silly ways that might appear. But the God in me is saying, hey, you're unlimited. You're illogical. You're unreasonable. You're unlimited. There's no balance, no judgment to anything you do. It's just being yourself and having fun. And I say, yeah, yeah, yeah. That upsets my human appetite a little bit, but yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Be myself and have fun. Okay. Well, God, got any suggestions for being myself? And God says, don't ask. Don't ask. I'll inundate you with suggestions until you almost drowned. But God, I didn't say you had to do it like that. Well, yesterday you looked up at the rain and you said, oh, how wonderful, this nice, gentle rain. And then I gave you more and more and more rain until it overflowed your swimming pool and it overflowed this and ran the dirt down off the hillsides and messed up your roads. And you could have said any time along the way, that's enough. You could have said, thank you very much, my divine self, for this lovely rain. That's enough. But, Herb, that's God speaking to me. Herb, your first thought was, uh-oh, it's going to rough the roads. Uh-oh, it's going to fill the swimming pool. Uh-oh, we're going to get all wet. Uh-oh, it's going to do this and that. And you see, God in me says, whatever you said, that's what happened. You're the creator. But God, why didn't I just say, hey, that's enough? Because you didn't do that. Your first thought was to find the problem that would exist if that condition continued. You didn't say, basta, end, done, enough. You just let it go on. And sure enough, there it did. God, that sounds kind of silly. No, we are talking about understanding the principle. And that is the principle. No logic, no reason. I mean, the rain came out of nowhere. Oh, there was a center someplace where it developed, but it basically came out of nowhere. As everything comes out of nothing. And it fell. And sometimes you complain, oh, it never rains enough. Other times you say, it rains too much. Well, make up your mind. What do you want to experience at each individual experience? I talk to the divine in me. I listen to God in me. I argue with God and me sometimes, determining what are my real choices and my real values. And as I discuss and argue with my divine self, my divine self sometimes says, that's enough of that. That's just about enough of that. I don't need any more argument. I don't need any more discussion. That's enough. And so I have to be quiet. And when I'm quiet, then miracles happen. When I'm quiet, everything works out in perfect accord. When I listen, that's why I go to the Father in secret, and the Father will reveal the opening. Go to your divine self in awareness within yourself, and listen. And the way will be clear before you, wonderful, dynamic, and powerful. When I listen to God in me, I don't fight it. Anything that comes up is God. It may not be an area I'm interested in at the moment, but anything that comes up is God. Even bad thoughts? Well, how could God ever have a bad thought? Even thoughts that take away from other people? How could God ever have a thought that takes away from other people. Every thought that God has is a fresh thought that creates out of the nothingness, that reveals out of the nothingness, that which already exists. I cannot have his car. I can have my car, but I cannot have his car. He may have owned that car at one time, but he sold it, and so I bought it as a used car. These are things that God speaks to us, and they sound so mundane. They sound so frivolous, so difficult to really appreciate, but that's how God talks to us. That's why Jesus could say to the blind men, go tell nobody. That's why the one Hindu master, he said to his followers, I can take poison and never be killed. Well, the Hindu master did not believe that. He believed that he could take poison and he could hold it in his throat for a short time and spit it out in time before it went into his body system. Well, one day he got so busy he forgot to spit it out and he died. We don't play games with principle in the law. God is not one to tell us what to do or what not to do. God at all times in us is describing whatever principle we're using. Does God empower the principle to do what it does? No, the principle empowers itself. But all is God, so the principle must be God, and the power that it gives to itself must be God. That's true. And that's why when I listen within, God as me is speaking. God as the principle is speaking. God as the allness is speaking. When I listen to God in me, such a plethora of things come up, so many, many wonderful things come up, and they all grab my attention. They all want me to think that they're the most important. And whatever I give importance to exacerbates itself, it builds upon itself, it grows until it seems as though that is our all-pervading reality, whereas it is only a temporary illusion. And the all-pervading reality aspect of it soon fades away into nothingness. We live in a fabulous world. I live in a fabulous world. And because I live in a fabulous world, I imagine you live in a fabulous world, because you are my reflection. And if you are a great pilot, I am a great pilot. How about that? If you are a great musician, I am a great musician. It's so fantastic. At the INTA meeting, the musicians were putting on a demonstration of how anyone can sing. And they asked some people to come up who were not appreciated as singers by people who heard them. And so the first thing they did was to have them sing in their very unorthodox manner. And then they said, okay, now keep singing. And then they changed the octave of the music. And they moved it up and they moved it down until the person singing was singing a perfect octave for them. And all the while they were telling this person, so many people here are just for you. They sent you cards and notes because they knew you were going to do this demonstration. And they said, you're wonderful, you're wonderful. Well, when each one left the stage, they were singing on key, on tune, with feeling and heart, and they were very good. They were appreciated. They believed in themselves. and they sang with feeling and heart. This is what we want to do with our spiritual reality. We want to sing with heart. We want to listen within and know that. That's what I, as God, do. I know I am God when I'm listening within, when I feel that I can sing any operatic aria. It makes no difference. I feel that I can be as good as any of the great musicians who have ever played an instrument or sung. Now, why do I feel that I could be that? Because the divine in me says, go. The divine in me says, yes, you are an exquisite musician. You are an exquisite singer. You are wonderful. And that's true. That's very true. I am wonderful. The divine in me tells me that. I can do whatever I choose to do. The divine in me tells me that all things are easy and possible. And so, I do it. I do it easily, I do it quickly, and I do it with fun, because I listen within. I, of course, have a little edge on most of the world. Not really, but I think I do. I have gotten over all the mundane stuff, or at least most of it, and now, as I am in conversation with my divinity, listening to my divinity, the silly ideas that used to make me think they were not really worthwhile are no longer there. Now my mind is concentrated on the perfect, the good, the beautiful, the pure. And as I concentrate on these things, that's where my experience is. And this is true for everyone. As my creation, my revelation, those I reveal in my life, as each one knows for themselves that they have the capacity to do whatever pleases them, they'll do it. Now, do you have that capacity? Do I have that capacity? Do we all have that capacity? Yes. And that's the way in which the divine speaks to us. But I must learn to listen to the divine. And I listen to the divine by stilling my mind of all the things that are, in my estimation, not important. And not throw them out, but just let them go. Don't give them any attention. And then, as I pay attention to what I call the higher quality things, I begin to experience them. Until it is a total rush of beautiful things that I experience. We can do that. It's a lot of fun. Very challenging, very uplifting, very, very rewarding. How do I listen to the divine within? How do I listen to God? I listen to God as I harmonize with what I think God is. I think God is love and beauty and truth. I think God is abundance and joy. I think God is fabulous in every possible way. Well then, if that's what I think, and that's just from one visit of God here, I would have enough for a long time, months of going within and listening to my divine self. We build up this reservoir of our belief and conviction. We build up this reservoir of oneness, and it is great. It is so great because there's no fighting, there's no anger, There's no problem that could hurt it. And so, I design it, and no matter what thoughts come up in my mind, I am the master. No matter what thoughts come up in my mind, it is the divine in me speaking. And I listen. And I listen very carefully. And as I listen carefully, wonderful things are revealed to me. Now, each one of you, take a few minutes now and listen to God in you. How would I speak to God? Listen to God in you, speaking to you as only God can speak, in the allness, in the isness, in the oneness. Put it in your thought for a few moments now. I enjoy listening to God, listening in the quietness, listening in my consciousness. And sometimes, as I listen, I hear some of the most glorious music that I've ever heard. And the music is a full concert, full orchestra. The music is something I've never heard before, and yet I'm unable to pinpoint what instruments are playing. Even though I know what the instruments are, as I hear this glorious music, I am unable to decipher which instrument is doing what. The harmony is so perfect and so pure. The music is so unique and different from anything I've ever heard before. And I listen. And then, as I listen, I hear sort of an undercurrent going on. I hear voices speaking to me, saying, "You are wonderful," saying, "You can accomplish anything you choose to accomplish," saying, "You are the divine of the human beings," saying, "Anything that you choose to experience, or you choose to know, or you choose to be, you are that right now." And as I hear this voice speaking to me, sometimes sounding just like my own, sometimes sounding like someone that I know and respect, sometimes sounding like my mother or father might have sounded so long ago, in the now, all giving me supportive encouragement of being who I am. This is the kind of creation I create for myself. This is the kind of awareness I have of God speaking in me. The voice of God speaks and says, "I like you." The voice of God speaks to me and says, "You have such a beautiful body, such a beautiful vehicle in which you live, move, and have your being here on this earth existence. You are so fantastic. You have such a open, brilliant mind. You are aware of all things. You are fabulous. And I say, God, I'm listening to you, but I'm very confused. And another voice speaks up in me and says, why? Because you're acting like you're separate from me, God. What? Yeah. You're acting like you're something outside of me, something that is separate from me, telling me how wonderful I am, making an observation of who I am instead of an introversion of who I am, being aware within of who I am. What's that you said, Herb? I said, an introversion of who I am. Where'd you get that word from, Herb? I just made it up. Oh? Can you do that? You know, God, I can do anything. Yeah, but why are you complaining about me? Why are you complaining about how I respond to you and how I talk to you? Well, God, that's not the way you're supposed to do it. How am I supposed to do it? Well, you're supposed to talk to me like me. Well, Herb, when I talk to you like you, you don't listen to me. You think it's just you talking, and it's not your divinity talking. It's not God, me, talking. See, there you go again, God, separating yourself from me, pretending that you're apart from me. Oh, come on, Herb, get off it. Nothing can be apart from you. You are the allness. There you go again, God, saying you are the allness. All right, Herb, we'll play it your way. I am the allness. I am Herb Byerly. I am great. I am good. I am fantastic. I am supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I am all that can be. That's the God I know. That's the way I like to hear it. Yeah. Well, when I get off on a tangent of thinking myself separate from myself, then I'm not having any fun. Being off on the tangent, I have a separateness. I have an otherness. And that's not what I am. I am the all. And the voice inside of us says, I am the all, and I am the all, and I am the all, and it is great. And I say, yes, God, that's the way I like to hear it. Anytime I speak to myself with limitation, we are the all, we are wonderful, we are fantastic, and you should do this, and you should do that, and you are this, and you are that. That's not the way God talks in me. The way God talks in me, first person present tense positive, it is me talking. Me talking to me. Yes. And I can say dumb things if I want, and I can say intelligent things if I want. And I have no interest in saying dumb things. In fact, when I try to think of a dumb thing to say a dumb thing, I can't even think of a dumb thing to say a dumb thing because I don't say dumb things to myself. That really is the way to go, isn't it, Herb? That's really the way to go. Yes, that's the way to go. I live in my divinity. I express my divinity. I am my divinity. It's a fascinating world we live in. fascinating life we live in. We have the choice of being God or pretending that we're something else. I have the choice of being God or pretending that I'm something else. Every time I bring up the we, every time I bring up the you, the otherness, I feel sort of like I'm not doing it right. I feel like I'm expressing a sick attitude. I live in the now. I live in the me-ness, in the presentness, in the oneness that I am. That's who I am. I am the allness, the now. And this is good and very good. This is who I am and who I always will be. I am God. God I am. These words are my mantra of truth, my statement of the law, my expression of all that is good and beautiful. That's what life's all about. How well have I trained myself to listen to my divine within, that unlimited expression of myself that does all things and is all things? It's so tempting to say that can do all things and will do all things, but those are future. Those are not in the now. All things are done in the now. All things are fulfilled in the now. And that's all that ever matters. That all that ever we want to have in our life, to know in our life, to be in our life, that's all. And it is good and very good. That's all that I want to be. First person, present tense, positive, listening to myself, in myself, listening to God as me, in me, through me, being me now. Now the next part of your program is to have an hour before you join for breakfast at 7 and do whatever it is that pleases you for that hour, and realize that I will tell you when we will use the music tape, and I will tell you about the other activities. And I will have a talk with each one of you, and you're given a copy of the Times, and Esther is today at 8 after breakfast. So now, go out and run and jump and play and sing and have the wonderful start of a grand and glorious day. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.